Making order out of chaos, that is the Word of God. Understanding that Word that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
In an age of moral bankruptcy and shallow Christianity, we are in need of a reformation back to the Word of God like never before. Welcome to Abounding Grace. This is a ministry of the United Reformed Church here in Linden. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and I am excited again to bring to you this broadcast every single weekday at this time. And this week, the subject before us is gospel preaching. Since Christ has ascended and since He has given His church a mission, we have the great calling in that mission to preach the Word of God in season and out of season, because that is what He has told us He delights in to save souls. We live in a time, of course, when the message of the cross is seeming to find little interest anymore in a high-tech, consumerized society that is facing constant change and constant innovation. And we're all faced, at least as pastors and even as churchgoers, with the perception that the old ways given in the Word of God to call sinners to belief in Jesus Christ just don't work anymore. And you see that being played out in many churches today, where the conviction that the preaching of the Word is not the means that God has chosen, but there are many other ways in which we can use to sort of bring and reach the lost and have them believe in Jesus Christ. I think the real challenge that we are opposed with today is expressed very clearly in a popular advertisement that I stumbled upon for a new paraphrase Bible. In the advertisement, you will find a woman dressed very sophisticated. She is young. She is very successful. And in this advertisement, promoting understandable language for the day, it says this: "Pastor, if you want to reach me, you better watch your language." And as the advertisement goes on, distracted by bills and deadlines, this is the only time she takes to nourish her spiritual life. You can't afford to lose her attention when you reference Bible passages that are too lofty and too obscure. You know, as I read that, I've come to the conclusion that that is so descriptive of the mindset of the church today that it would be hard to capture it in any better words. It was one pastor who put it this way in reaction to that. He said, "No, this isn't about making things comfortable for you. If you're baptized, then this speech that the Bible uses is your language. You have to make an effort to understand it. If you're too distracted by deadlines and bills to make any time out of this 1 hour a week for your faith, then you'll pardon me for not losing the rest of my congregation to the world just for you." Wow. What a statement. Do you hear what he was reacting against? That when we so change the message of the cross and change the message of the Bible with the hopes of reaching the culture and reaching people, the damage on the opposite end is huge. While attempting to reach the lost, we can lose the reached. We have to be discerning, don't we? We have to think through the model of ministry, of course, that is happening around us, and the model that the Bible designs for us to use. Today's, of course, is a user-friendly model, which really has as its premise that the traditional church is seeker-hostile and that the traditional church is dead. And so what has been proposed, friends, is a complete restructuring and implementation of a gospel service where seekers can feel comfortable. Anything today that feels churchy, anything, even the architecture, lest we offend the unchurched Harry or the unchurched Mary, these things have to be removed. Ironically, though, at least as the statistics go, this approach really hasn't reached the unreached. The average candidate today for a megachurch or for churches that have adopted the seeker model in worship, ironically, is a lapsed churchgoer or a churchgoer who has become disgruntled with the more established traditional church. And really what has happened is an approach to ministry which has become more touristy than anything else. People today can simply find a church that is tailored to their interests, designed for their pleasure, that never calls them to commit to anything, as one pastor said, except anything other than themselves. Result? Well, as I said a minute ago, in an effort, friends, to reach the lost, we're losing the reached. What's the reason for this? Well, as we go through this study this week, as I set a little background here, first, the great problem that we're facing today is that the worship of God has been redesigned and reformatted as if the worship service is geared to be in New York, to be in New York Square, as if it's only aimed for the lost instead of the baptized covenant community of faith. Second, there's an almost complete loss of confidence that something special happens when the church gathers each and every Sunday, giving complete emphasis to the means of grace that God has chosen to feed his people and to save weary souls. So in the next few days, we're going to be answering a few different questions. The first being, are matters of style neutral? And the overarching question, of course, being this: what method has God chosen and promised to bless in the salvation of souls? A very important question indeed. Over the next few days, I'm going to contend from Scripture that God has already made our message and His message relevant to the culture. God has told us and accommodated to us what the message is, even its method. And when we depart from this, it is really shaking our fists at God with a faithless heart and saying, God, your ways don't work. It's a very serious thing to consider today when there are so many ideas, so many new ways of spirituality, so many methods searching to make the gospel relevant to the culture, and so on. Well, I begin with you today by saying, I guess, that this really is nothing new. Paul dealt with the very same problem. And if you were to turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians, you would find that the church in Corinth was facing the very same tendencies and the very same temptations. Listen to chapter 2 in 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech or wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. Now, what is wrapped up in that statement? Obviously, many of Paul's contemporaries were criticizing him because in his proclamation of the gospel, he was overtly choosing not to implement the rhetoric principles and techniques of the day to win the lost. Now, we can't get a sense really of what Paul's doing in our context, but the ancient world was full of what was called Sophia. It was full of wisdom. This was ancient Greece and Roman culture. The art of rhetoric developed by Cicero was prized, and men would stand and give great orations. It was almost an art in that day. There were schools of rhetoric to learn how to speak. Eloquence in speech was one of the greatest and most noble gifts that one could have. It would earn you a high status in society. It was seen as an essential mark of wisdom in the ancient world. Remember, the Athenians, of course, in Acts chapter 17, would gather on the Acropolis to hear some new teaching and hear it through great oratory skills. Now, what does Paul say to the church in Corinth? Paul says, I didn't come to you with the same kind of excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. The question, of course, is why Paul? I mean, surely, brother, to reach the culture, surely if you're going to gain an ear, surely if your gospel is going to make any headway and be non-offensive in this vital contemporary society full of wisdom and full of rhetoric, you had better accommodate what you do if you're going to gain an ear from anybody. Now, this becomes the real sum and substance of everything that Paul had been addressing in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. In that section, he begins in chapter 1, verse 18, and Paul makes a fascinating argument. I want you to listen to this carefully. He says this, "For the foolishness of the cross, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Now, just before this, he had said at the end of verse 17 that he was sent to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words. And so immediately, Paul sets before us this great contrast, this great dichotomy, this great antithesis, this gulf that cannot be bridged in any way or merged at all between the world's wisdom and God's wisdom. And so Paul goes on to question all of the world's wisdom rhetorically in verse 20. Where are all of your wise men? Where are all of your scribes, right? Where is the disputer of this age? Here comes Paul. Where are the world's wise men? What does he say? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Then he says this, verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Now, friends, this is a huge passage. And it is simply understood. What he's saying is, in all of the human wisdom that's out there, and there's a lot of it, we have years and years of accumulation of philosophers and all of their wisdom, the wisdom that belongs to this age, that which is human, that which is creaturely, that which is fallen, all of it fails in every single way to bring a saving knowledge of God. Just read all the philosophers, all of their methods, all of their ideas, all of their ways of obtaining wisdom. But Paul says there's a wisdom that God chose. There's a wisdom that pleased him, a wisdom that is a complete antithesis to the unbelieving world, a wisdom that is different in all ways than the world's wisdom. Verse 22, he says, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. What's he telling us? Friends, grace has its own method. There's a means that he delights to save. He wills to save this way. How? Through the hearing of the word preached. So the first thing we say today as we open this series, if we really want to have people worship God, if we really want to see souls saved and in a way that glorifies him the way that he designs and wants to be glorified, it won't be done with gimmicks. It won't be done with entertainment. It won't be done with the ideas of men. But we have to recognize, friends, that he has given us a key ingredient to facilitate and work salvation in the hearts of men, and that is preaching. Preaching Christ and preaching him crucified. It's my prayer for all of you today that, again, you would desire to hear the message of the cross, because in that, that is the power of God to save your souls. Enough of the gimmicks. Let's go back to the solid word of God preached. For it is then, and only then, that we can truly say that the excellency of the power is of him and not of us. See you tomorrow.
So much to learn from God's word in, well, so little time. We thank you for joining us. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, the ministry of United Reformed Church of Linden. If you have questions or comments, maybe a prayer request, we'd love to dialogue with you and talk with you about what you've listened to here today on the broadcast. Our phone number is 360-318-0429. Again, 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about United Reformed Church of Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, you can stop by our website, lindenurc.com. We even have some of the sermons by Pastor Chris Gordon there available for you to listen to at your convenience. Again, lindenurc.com. And when you stop by, would you drop us an email? Let us know you paid us a visit. That would encourage us a great deal. And again, our phone number, 360-318-0429. If you're writing to us, it's Abounding Grace, 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington, 98264 is our zip code. And as we close out our time together today, quick reminder, we are presented on this radio station daily, in part, through your partnership with us. As you link arms with us, prayerfully and financially, we're able to continue the ministry of Abounding Grace here on this station. Thank you for your prayerful support. And we look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.